views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Ladies and gentlemen, and all others out there, and there are a few others out there, it's Friday. Another week has come and gone in about 2.3 days. D-A-Z-E, days. It's too much. The overwhelming deluge of information now has begun to take its toll on more and more people all the time. And they are desperately grasping at straws and what they think are answers. And as soon as they've found something that seems to fit their paradigm, they hold on to it, they embrace it, and they're not going to let it go. And all that's going to happen is arguments. You're going to get in arguments with people. No, you're wrong. I'm right. No, there really is no wrong and right anymore unless you have it distilled down to something very simplistic, and then you can maybe make that case. But otherwise, it's incredibly diverse, incredibly sophisticated, unbelievably evil, diametrically, demonically evil. And that's the spike protein in the bioweapon injection. And now, with the bivalent vaccine, with the new spike, in addition to the old spike, well, two times the fun, same cost, no increase in price. They're going to wipe out as many as they can. They're already on the way to doing it. And just do remember, there's profit in it all the way for them. That's what they're up to. And if what I'm told is correct, that when you're born, your birth certificate is a stock certificate, and there's money put into your stock certificate by unknown super mega wealthy people. That's what they do. They invest in millions of people. You put a dollar a share in or whatever, a dollar per birth certificate, and it accrues value over the lifetime of the person. And then when they die, the owner, the holder of that birth stock certificate, can cash it in. And they do. I know it sounds silly, but believe me, there's a lot of silliness on this planet, and it's all under the rubric and umbrella of satanic evil. So you figure it out. And you good people out there who listen to this program, guard your kindness, guard your goodness, because they want to take it away. Don't let that happen. All right. It's Friday. It's the... What the hell is it? Wait a minute. It's the third Friday of the month. That means Admiral Harry Cooper is about to come aboard and spend 2 hours regaling us with more and more vignettes of his days on his sail. No, that isn't it.
Have you been reading the dictionary again, Rents?
Huh?
Have you been studying your dictionary again?
No, but actually reading books that increase vocabulary is a very fun thing to do. I did it once or twice years ago, but it is fun. It's more fun than reading the phone book. All right.
Yeah, they don't even print the phone book anymore.
Well, yeah, you're right. Gen Z doesn't know what a phone book is.
Right.
They don't.
Right.
Do you remember those people who used to tear the New York phone directory in half barehanded?
Yeah, to show how tough they were. Yep.
Yes.
And they were all printed in Chicago by the Reuben Donnelly Corporation that had a massive, huge building alongside the Illinois Central rail yard on the south side of Chicago, on the west side of the rail yard.
Well, if you were in Chicago now, you'd have to have a gun and you'd have to go out and shoot one or two people every weekend. I think that's the requisite.
Yeah. I don't know if you know it or not, but the mayor in Chicago has been promoted from troll to gargoyle now. That's what
you
they call
it. You mean the little fence lizard? Lizard Lightfoot?
Yeah. The troll has become the gargoyle now.
And you mean that they made a statue?
No. Just the way that my people talk about her, the ones who live back in Chicago.
Gotcha. Well, gargoyle's too nice. She's a lizard. Come on.
Okay.
Lizard Lightfoot. She's a little fence lizard. A little gay fence lizard. I guess if you're a woman, you can't call him a faggot. Well, maybe you could. I don't know. I can't keep up with these words. It's your fault anyhow.
Idea.
I didn't do anything. It's all your fault.
When I grew up, there was guys and there was girls. That's it.
Yeah, well, now you got over 50 different choices. And you never know.
Not in my book.
No.
And when my kids were growing up, you know, it would be a very unhappy fellow who decided to use the public restroom when my daughter was in there.
Yes, sir. And there are still some parents. I saw a little video clip of a mother the other day talking to some trans man about going into the restroom where her daughter was.
Yeah.
It was nice to see. There are not enough people speaking out. And if they are speaking out, chances of their video getting shown anywhere are very tiny. They won't be making it onto the mainstream media.
You got to be some kind of a weirdo to get posted up there.
Yeah. Well, anyway, okay. What we're doing here is talking about things and bringing information out. And some of you younger listeners, we're very grateful you're here. Because you want to know what the hell happened really in World War II. Now, most young people don't even know what World War II was.
They don't even teach it in school anymore.
No. But we're going to tell you. Uncle Harry's going to tell you. And we're going to show you pictures. And for those of you who certainly, and that's fine, still believe that Adolf Hitler killed himself in the bunker in 1945 in April... we're going to show you some pictures. They're very interesting. So sit tight and don't go away. All right. Admiral, launch the ship.
Okay. First off, a shout-out to my friend Ezio. Ezio, that was a great joke. Thanks. I'm going to pass it on to Rents later. And to that nice couple I met at Red's restaurant, glad you're tuning in. Okay, let's take a look at photo number one.
Everybody who's new, go to altnews.net, a.k.a. rents.com, and look on the left-hand side at the picture of the coal-powered electric cars. God, is that funny. Electric vehicles
yeah, that was a
are
great
just
shot.
Garbage, dirt. Garbage. Yeah. Electric cars are just crap. Okay, look on tonight's guest, click here, and, my pictures aren't rotating. There are two pictures in the rotation. There is I guess they call it a glitch, don't they? All right, anyway, click on tonight's guest, and you'll see Admiral Harry Cooper under Harry's name. Click on that link, and the gallery will appear, okay? More World War II secret revelations about Germany in Argentina and South America. That's the title of tonight's program, and we've got some great stuff to look at. All right, now, we want to give tribute again to your dear friend, who is gone now, Pizarro, and explain who he was and why this material is so critically important.
Right. Pizarro, of course, is a code name for one of our agents who is no longer with us. His father served on the U-boats, first on U-209, then on 880, and he was killed when U-880 went down. And Pizarro was just a little kid. And he formed a group called the Delta Research Team, and they dug deeply into the secret files. He was German, and all his Delta members were Germans, and they dug deep into the German secret files and got a tremendous amount of information, which he sent to me under the agreement that I would not release it for at least 25 years. So it's been now 27 years. So it's coming out. And he died, like so many people in this business, very suspiciously. He was a big guy, about 6 foot two, 240 pounds, solid as a rock, powerful guy. And in his 60s, he, I think, banged his leg on a table or something, got a bruise, went to the hospital. Oh, yeah, they admitted him for a bruise. And next thing you know, bang, he's dead, sepsis. So, unfortunately, all his information went to his son, who was a creepy little bastard. I met him when he was about 8 years old. What an obnoxious kid. Anyhow, I contacted the son and said, hey, your father's research stuff is priceless. Don't let go of it.
Yeah.
No, we've got it secured. And I said, okay. I'd like to, but
Here's what we need to do. We need to do a fundraiser and pay the little bastard off and get that stuff released.
Money talks.
Yeah,
I know. Money talks and bullshit walks. That's what we used to say when I was driving race cars. But anyhow, you know, I asked if we could still work together to disseminate this information. Oh, no. So, okay, let's start a fundraiser and get the little creep one. Either get him to release it for money, or we'll send Guido the knuckle dragger over there to talk to him. No, that was another time in my life.
Sorry.
Anyhow, the Delta Files, as it says here, this is going into a book. And the Third Reich was incredibly huge and deeply embedded in South America, more than anybody would realize. You say that, and people will pop up and say, "Oh yeah, Argentina, we know all about that." No, you don't. You're just scratching the surface. For what it's worth, one of our members and I are going down on another recon in January, I think. There's so much more to see down there. And
all right, we got to hold up. Before you go, let's make sure we continue talking about this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to put my 2 cents in.
Okay.
In fact, I'll put more in than that. Because I subterranean. That's all I'm going to say.
I hear you. Yeah, that's one of the places that's on our wish list. No, it's an itinerary.
Don't take the shot. Do they make you take the shot?
No, that's why we're able to go now. No, I ain't taking that shot. Hell no.
No.
My family has not either. So you're stuck with me for a lot more years.
I hope so.
So me too, more than you. Now I got another 27 years ahead of me. Then after that, who knows?
Well, by then they'll have enough spare parts to replace whatever you need. You can go further.
Yeah, but on the other side of the coin, the New World Order is in their process of decarbonization. of the planet.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, and what are you and I made up of? Carbon atoms. They want to get down. What do we got? 7-point-something-or-another billion people in the world. When eight. I was a kid, 7.8? Okay.
It's 8, just about 8.
Oh, just about 8 now, okay. When I was a kid, there were just barely 1 billion people in the whole world. How times have changed. So anyhow, I understand that the New World Order wants us to get down to about 500 million total, which is 500 million, which wasn't that...
That's right.
Charlie Manson's plan? Helter
yeah, but
Skelter.
Charlie wasn't involved with the friend we're talking about here.
No,
he was just guessing.
Loony.
Yeah.
But you got to give him credit. He had a whole harem there. Can't short him for that.
Well, leave it to you to praise that part of his weird personality. Okay.
I used to have a harem, too, before I got married, but I wasn't doing
it. I don't
want
to hear about
like
it
him.
Again. I've heard about it too many times. God. And stop sending me those pictures.
What pictures are those?
The harem.
I only send them when you ask.
Never mind. All right.
They're all clean pictures, folks. They're all clean pictures.
Yeah, you wiped them all off before you sent them.
Right, yeah. It's a little hard to wipe off the electronic photos, but we work on it.
All right, seriously now, all seriousness aside,
we're
going down to January maybe. This is good. This is very good.
It's pretty certain already. My friend down there, you know, Martin, he would like us to come down in November, in a couple of months. But my friend here, who is the pivot point, we'll call him. He
Fine.
Has other contractual arrangements elsewhere, so January will be it, which is, of course, it's tourist season down there because it's middle summer.
Well, hell, the way things have been going, the place will probably be crawling with boats coming up and...
Yeah, their economy is in free fall. Right now they're at about 90% inflation. It's terrible for those people down there. You know, we're having a hard time here with Joe and the hoe in control, and our inflation's 8.3%. Down there it's 90%, for God's sake. And this was 40 years ago, I guess it was, something like that. Their inflation had suddenly went nuts like this, and they had riots in the street, and they had more military hunters trying to take over, and you know, it's a beautiful country, nice people, great food, but obviously they got a problem in the running of the government.
Well, you know who's down there and who's been surveying Patagonia for decades and has made plans to move a lot of people from a certain Middle Eastern country down there, should there be a problem?
Yeah.
They're definitely down there, and they're definitely looking at it as a jump-off landing
point.
Yeah,
the focal point down there is a city, town, whatever you want to call it, named Ushuaia, at the very southern tip of South America, in the Tierra del Fuego area. And I've never been to Ushuaia, but my people down there tell me that there's people speaking all sorts of different languages down there. Israeli being one of the most prominent.
You said it. You got it.
Well, I just passed on what my report's coming in.
Well, they've been down there. They've been down there crawling all over that country for a long time. And that's where if they had to go somewhere, that's where they'd go.
It's a very rich country as far as natural resources.
Around
the southern end of it, Ushuaia, which, of course, is right out from the Falkland Islands or the Islas Malvinas. And that's why England and Argentina have been fighting over this for better than a century. The first
huge
battle of the Falkland Islands was 1915.
Right. There's petroleum there and natural gas, all kinds of things, lots.
Yeah, yeah. And in that whole area, not just at there, but all the way ashore by Ushuaia and the southern end of South America. Very wealthy, untapped resources. Right. And beautiful country, nice people, great food.
Oh, yeah.
They don't use artificial growth hormones in their steaks, in their beef. Boy, yummy. I can't wait to get down there for that.
Okay. They're probably putting, I wouldn't think they do it down there, but we're getting more and more reports of insects being put in our food already.
Yeah,
these
I saw
big
that
corporations.
On your page. Yeah.
They're doing all kinds of things now.
You
they're determined
the
to try to force people
to
eat,
with that.
Eat that bug paste.
All
right,
wow.
So honestly, is there any is there any way? I haven't heard from Martine in a couple of weeks. I got to write to him. Is there anything you
I
want me to tell?
I just heard from him 2 days ago.
Yeah,
his son is recovering from his burns.
Okay, well that's again. I asked about that, and he hasn't written back yet.
He's recovering. The scars are just about totally gone.
Oh, good. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, anyway, there's one more item down there, some items that I'm going to bring up here, and we've got to get this squared away with a certain middleman who is...
I'm not going to shoot anybody while we're down there.
Oh, God.
I'll be area, and I will see that guy.
Yeah. Well, he has fleeced me, let's put it that way, although it was for a good cause, and I'm okay with it.
I only put you guys in touch with each other, and I give up my enforcement days with the mafia many, many moons ago.
Yeah, well, Martine's as good as they get, so.
He's a good man. He really is a good man. And
will you, for God's sakes? Yeah. Would you please get hold of that boat skipper before he dies? All we need for provenance is a simple two-sentence letter. I saw this when I was growing up. I certify I definitely was there, blah, blah, blah. And you give him a check for $1,000. That's it.
I ain't going to give him a check. I'll take him out to eat.
Whatever. I'll give you the money. And but we've got, this is it's critical. It's a priority issue, and we've got to get hold of him.
I'm trying. Unfortunately, right. The guy who introduced us was Nahuel, and Nahuel has faded into the mists of history or whatever. We can't get a hold of him anymore.
Something happened. He wrote me that very nice response.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I've lost everything. I don't have anything left, and da-da-da-da-da, and I wish you the very best, and da-da-da-da-da, and da-da-da-da. That was it.
Yeah.
He won't talk.
Yeah. So... the only other one I know down in that area is Abel Basti, and our friend Lawrence DeMello told me that he really hates me, so I don't think I could go to him and say, hey, I need help. But last time I talked to Lawrence...
Wait a minute. Abel, it's Abel, isn't it? Abel? Abel?
Yeah, and in South America it's pronounced Abel, but
all
it's
right,
Abel,
well,
yeah.
Abel can always use... a little extra green stuff, or whatever color
the
stuff down there is.
The world revolves around money for him.
I know. That's why I'm bringing it up. I think you should just, even if he hates you, just reach out to him and say, here's what we need. Are you interested in helping? We'll make it worth your while.
Point us toward that boat skipper.
Seriously. Maybe he doesn't hate you anymore. Sometimes that fades away. Maybe he's a...
Okay.
Well, all right. All right.
We'll
I'm just trying to be
positive.
We'll find
out tomorrow, not today, because after the show, I'm going to bed after I take my yappy dog outside.
Don't blame me.
I will.
Don't blame me.
I know it. Tomorrow, I will call Lawrence and see if she can't be the bridge.
Look, he absolutely a brilliant idea. Go to it.
It's your idea, so it's got to be brilliant.
Well, no, come on. But seriously, she could make this happen. Have to have it. We're running out of time.
I know. And I don't want to find the guy 1 week after he's dead.
Oh, Jesus.
We'll get to Providence. If it's gettable, we'll get it.
All right. Okay, for all of you who are angry that we're not telling you exactly what we're talking about, we just can't. So sorry, and we'll stop yakking.
We'll release it when the time is right, both on your show and on my website, sharkhunters.com.
All right.
And, hey, incidentally, whenever I meet somebody and tell them, go to the website, sharkhunters.com, and when you do that, you'll probably come across the Southern Poverty Law Center website that says I'm a Nazi, which is a flat-out lie. So many of them people say, oh, yeah, those dishonored lying bums. So apparently they're losing credibility.
Good. No, you're not a Nazi. But why do you keep making me do those rifle drills in a German uniform?
With your right arm in the air and a red cuff on your sleeve, huh?
It's all right. History reenactment is legal and fun.
Oh, yeah. We got a lot of members who are reenactors, and they're fanatics about everything has to be exactly right. And God bless them. It's a good hobby.
It is a hobby. It's called a hobby of real history, reality. And you ain't going to find it on any other venue that I know of. All right. Onward. Secret information. Compliments of Pizarro.
Yep. Okay. You look at photo number two. Now, I'll keep going back and forth between the photos and quoting out of the book that's coming out from this. In that book, it says that there was an escape organization that was founded by a certain Obergruppenführer, which is a general in the SS. And we identify him in the book here. His name was Otto Kuhn, and he was a Obergruppenführer with the SS. He was also Shark Hunters member number 4008. We wrote back and forth. He was, even though history, or if you go to Wikipedia, which is not allowed in college research, but they say that Heinrich Himmler founded Odessa, the organization, SS, whatever it means. But it was really Otto Kuhn. And his picture's there. Well, that's him on number two.
That's an autographed picture he sent you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice.
And I put on the electronic photo, I put sharkhunters.com across his signature so people don't copy it and say they've got a genuine signature.
They certainly will.
Yeah, I know.
Look at those oak leaves. Look at that. Isn't that...
Yeah, he's got the... Yeah, that's his rank. But at his throat is the Knight's Cross with oak leaf and crossed swords. Mm-hmm. Not very many guys got that and lived.
Mm-hmm.
In the U-boats, which we study a lot, only five guys got the swords to the Knight's Cross with oak leaf and then the swords. Only two were alive when Shark Hunters was going, and they were both members of Shark Hunters and both good friends of mine. That was Otto Kretschmer and Erich Topp. Now, Kretschmer considered me part of the family. I had a sleeping room in his house over there in a suburb of Emden. So this guy is wearing a decoration that is incredibly difficult to come by. And it was a decent man. Odessa was formed primarily to help funnel money to the SS veterans who were resettled into South America, primarily Argentina, by the thousands. And he was there to help funnel money to them. And he sent that in through the to the Banco Transatlantico Alemán, which means the German Transatlantic Bank. And it was under control of an Argentine German by the name of Rodolfo Freuda. And you see him in photo number 3. His name is over his head. And at some point after the war was over, somebody in Europe, European courts, were demanding that Perón send Freuda back to Europe to face charges. And Perón says, he's my good friend. He ain't going nowhere. So he lived out his life there in Buenos Aires. And I've been to his grave in the German cemetery. Talk about conflicts or whatever. You know, the Brits and the Germans were fighting each other in World War II. There's a beautiful, beautiful German cemetery in Buenos Aires right next to the beautiful British cemetery. Both are beautiful cemeteries, well kept, and these are guys who were trying to kill each other almost a century ago, and they're at peace finally. One thing, though, like I've said again and again, the Reich never died. It only moved to South America. And on the anniversary of the date of Fromsdorf, the commander of the battleship Graf Spee, on the anniversary of his suicide, they have a big march to that cemetery, black jackets, black pants, black boots, red, white, and black flags that you might recognize.
Is this still going on?
Yep. Still going on.
Fascinating.
Yeah. I don't know what they're trying to do other than just honor a great man. But it's interesting that it hasn't been made a lot of noise over it
yet. Frankly, it doesn't even make the news. A lot up here. And you'd think if the Spitlickers wanted to try and get rid of it, that they'd start pushing it in the mainstream media. Horrible rites and rituals being still followed and practiced in Argentina.
Yeah, whatever. Radical Nazis. Well, after all, Cooper goes to Argentina, and Cooper's a Nazi, according to them. So everything he touches must turn into Nazi.
Well, you didn't see that. You saw the thing where they accused me of celebrating Hitler's birthday with you every April, and we have a special night and a party for him or something?
It's incredible. Yeah, you and I are celebrating. I've never even met you face-to-face. We've become good friends over the air in the last, 10 years since... No, my first show with you was in 2013. I've never even met you, so where did we go to this party together?
And we have the party on the radio program, among other things.
The biggest thing that happened to me on Hitler's birthday was in 2015. I bought my wife a car, and on that same day in 2018, I paid it off.
Very good. Nice.
Yeah, but we're not marching around with flags or anything. The only flag I put up outside is the Stars and Stripes.
Yep.
So, okay, moving along here down South America, and we look back on the conversation that Kaltenbrunner had with this Navy lieutenant, Lieutenant Zerzi Heinrich Garbers. And there's more drivel on the internet about him, too. Just don't pay any attention to it. It's all baloney. But Kaltenbrunner asked if a sailboat like Garbers was commanding, a 90-ton yawl, if he could make it through a narrow opening to a secret place. And Garbers said, yeah, if it had a auxiliary motor. Oh, wonderful. And right shortly thereafter, Dönitz came out with the comment that they had found an impregnable Shangri-La for the Führer after the war. And that was confirmed again. We've confirmed it umpty zillion times. So I was on the phone 2 days ago with our friend M, and he confirmed, yep, absolutely, Dernitz never meant Antarctica. There's stuff going on down there, but I don't think it had anything to do with the Third Reich. There's a lot of stuff going on down there, as you know. We were going to go down there, but my partner was arrested and beaten by the Monaco secret police.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's something that we're not supposed to see, but a secret Nazi base with flying saucers.
Yeah, there's much more to that. It has to do with prior civilizations on the planet as much as anything.
Yeah, yeah, whatever it is down there. But like I say, not Nazi secret bases with flying saucers.
Nope.
But whatever it is, I'd love to get down there and see it. But A, it'll take $500,000 at least for an expedition there. And they won't take my rubber checks. And, you know, I don't mind ducking authorities, but I got to have enough resources to get the job done. And $500,000 is just totally out of sight, so I ain't going.
Yeah. And I did get one or two, maybe, I forget, emails asking me to find out where the grave is. And I'm not, obviously, that's not a starter. We don't go there at all.
Right. Well, you can't tell them because you don't know.
Shh.
Oh, okay. Let them keep. Hey, have them send you money. No, that's crooked. That's something the spitlickers would do.
No, we don't. And I have a general concept of the whole thing, but I would never, and you will never, no
chance. Yeah, I've been offered money for that too, and I just tell them no, absolutely not. I gave my word, and that's the end of that story.
Right.
Well, yeah, but there's all that gold up there. Yeah, there is. There are 12 very large golden eagles, each one weighing more than a ton. More than 2 tons, actually, but, hey, it's a crypt. And I gave my word, and that's the end of that story. And besides, anybody who goes there ain't coming back.
Oh, they won't walk out, okay? They'll never be seen again. It's very simple.
Yeah, it's guarded by the grandsons of the SS down there, and soon their sons. So there were some hikers went there. Oh, this was, 1995, I think it was, when I was first informed about this place by Pizarro, and I gave him my word I wasn't going to say anything. And a week later, he called me up. He's all angry. You told me you weren't going to tell anybody. I says, I didn't. What are you talking about? And he says, oh, those people that are there now. I said, I don't have any idea what you're talking about. I didn't tell anybody. They're not Shark Hunter members. And he kind of shrugged, and he said, well, that's okay. They won't be coming home.
This is not a joke, and we're not playing games here. It's just it is what it is, and our friend, who knows a hell of a lot more than I ever will, anyway, enough. Okay, let's go.
Where did we leave off? We are.
You're at the sail, the schooner.
Right. It's actually a yawl. Because the back mast is not called a mizzen, it's called a jigger, and it's abaft the steering point, whereas a catch has a mizzen mast, and it's forward of the steering point. Anyhow, we've seen this picture before, but in the book now, and right now on your show, we're revealing what boat it was. It was Passim. And there were, what did I say, about 15 of these boats similar. And also two boats, KFK 203 and 204. KFK was short for Kriegs Fish Cutter. In other words, a fishing boat. It's made to look like a 100-ton fishing boat. Unfortunately, one of them got destroyed coming through the Norway Passage by the Royal Navy, I think. But the other one, we don't know where it went. The two of them besides KFK 203 and 204. One was also named Mary. The other one was Barbara. I forget which one was which, but one of them was destroyed. But the other one got through. Pizarro felt that maybe the Brits were aware of it, because our intelligence service, the Allied intelligence, after about May of 43, was really good. They knew lots of stuff. And they had pictures of these two boats, but they both look alike. So Pizarro figured that the Brits only knew there was one boat, not the two of them, because they were twins. We never did find out what happened to that second boat.
Interesting. Could be in the hangar with the... never
the,
mind.
Yeah, the JU-390.
The non-existent V2. JU-390.
Right. The farmhands all took it apart in about 4 hours, right?
Oh, sure.
And Let me tell you about this tower I got for sale in Paris.
And they made his coat that I have in about 15 minutes.
Yeah, right. Amazing what these untrained, unskilled, uneducated farmhands can do.
Mm-hmm.
If they get enough incentive. Okay, so that's Passim. Now we're getting a little more interesting. Let's go to number 5. Okay, everybody got number 5 open?
Ready to go.
You'll see where it says Secret Feuerland Not Print. And up at the upper right, Shark Hunters, Harry Cooper, Uplitzer, and it gives some position. But
four Uplitzer. Okay. The number 4-dash Uplitzer. Uplitzer means, what did you say, unknown places?
That's right. It's short for unbekannt Plätze, which means unknown place. And we're getting into, we'll get in a few minutes into why the Brits never found these things. Now, the Uplätze are, because that's plural, these are hidden harbors, these are coves, these are places for ships to duck in and hide. There's no facilities, no dock, no people, no nothing, just a place to hide. And we, in typical German manner, they itemized each and every one of these Uplätze, and they gave the latitude, longitude, where it was located, what direction on the compass you had to sail to go into it, how big the cove was, how deep the water was, what kind of holding, whether it was rocks on the bottom or clay or whatever, how tall the trees were, how far it was from the closest civilization, how far it was from the closest steamer lanes. Mm-hmm. They were incredibly precise. And what size ships and boats could hide in there, how many. And so here we're looking at two by Santa Ynez and in the Clarence Passage. There's a zillion little islands down there. And this is all in the Straits of Magellan. So keep this in mind, because we're going to come back to it shortly. And now we go to number 6. That was a beautiful ship in its day. Compared to today, it's kind of ugly. That's the light cruiser Dresden. And back in those days, they all had coal-fired boilers. They had, they called them the Black Gang because they were all covered with soot, and they were all black until they could shower. And all they did was shovel coal into the furnaces. Mm-hmm. So here's the light cruiser SMS Dresden heading out. And in the first battle of the Falkland Islands, 1915, the cruiser squadron of Admiral Graf von Spee, tangled with the cruiser squadron of the Royal Navy Admiral, boy, I can't remember the guy's name. It's right, it's right on the tip of my tongue. When the tape goes around in my head, I'll remember it. But anyhow, they got into a gun battle off the Falkland Islands. The British squadron was beat up pretty badly, but the German squadron was totally destroyed except for the Dresden, because it could go one knot faster than the British ship, so it got out of the way in a hurry. And they ducked into the Magellan Straits and hid out. Now, if you look to number 7, you see the guy that I've circled. That's Wilhelm Canaris. At the time this photo was taken, you see the four broad stripes on his sleeve. That means he's a captain, Capitaine Zorsi. But at the time of the Dresden, he was an adjutant on board Dresden. He was Oberleutnant Zorsi, in other words, a full lieutenant. And he was promoted later on to Capitaine Leutnant. He was on board that ship. He plotted all those little places. He later became head of the Abwehr, the German Secret Service. So in 1938, he sent the old line ship Schleswig-Holstein, which I guess would have been considered a battleship in World War I, sent them back through the Magellan Straits to update and finalize all these U-Plätze. 1938. A year before the war started, I guess war clouds were already on the horizon there.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody was rearming. And, of course, the Polish were starting to get really obnoxious, is a nice word to put it, toward the Germans.
No. They began to mass murder Germans in what used to be German territory that was given to the Poles after World War One.
Right.
That picture of... go ahead.
That had been Germany for centuries. In the first half of 1939, some 450,000 Volksdeutscher, ethnic Germans, were forcibly run out of Poland, what was then Poland, had been Germany. They'd been in the same home for generation after generation. Now suddenly it's Poland, and they had to leave. They could carry 20 kilograms of whatever they wanted with them. Could you see leaving your house with only 44 pounds worth of stuff in a bag? But they were kicked out, and then the last half of August, 39, some 49,000 were massacred by the Poles, tied up and beaten to death, which is why Hitler had to send the troops in. But here we are, the year before, 1938, they sent the Schleswig-Holstein through there. Now let's click on over to number 8.
Quick question. The picture of Canaris is interesting. There have been people writing that Canaris was he was compromised during the war, or a double agent or something. Have you heard anything about that?
Yeah,
I don't want to smear the guy, but...
No, he was not a double agent.
So these are just more... disinformation. All right.
Yeah, the people that write that stuff are just like that website called the U-Boat.net. Theories, guesses, fairy tales, and outright BS. He was anti-Hitler. He was very pro-German, but he was anti-Hitler.
Yeah,
like
I read his book in college, a book about Canaris. It was fascinating.
Oh, no kidding. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was very anti-Hitler. Like today, so many Americans are pro-American, but they're anti-Biden.
Can't imagine why. He's illegal.
I can't imagine why either.
He wasn't elected. He overthrew the country, or he's the visible figurehead
of
the putsch. All right.
Exactly. So anyhow, that's Canaris, and he was the brains behind all these little U-Plätze. And... as I say, you go to number 8. You've seen this picture before. Now I can tell you where it was taken. It was in one of those U-Plätze. You can see the Rocky Mountains behind it. Not the Rocky Mountains, but the rocks and the mountains. Not the Rocky Mountains, hell no. It's the mountains down in Tierra del Fuego.
Isn't it interesting how it looks a little bit like fjords in Norway and things? Opposite end of the... The world?
That part of the world is pretty much flip-flopped from the northern part of the world. It's all full of little fjords and inlets and coves and all sorts of stuff down there. And it's still never been really thoroughly explored. So, Now, where was this here picture took? See, I live down here in Florida, so I'm learning to speak that way. Where was this here picture took, you all? The picture, if you look to number
picture nine.
Yeah. This is the location of that particular ooplets. And you'll see that there's a drawing on the direction to fly, how long it takes there, because they have airplanes that, you know, float plane that they'll launch, and it shows the direction of travel for the ship and how far it is from point to point, how long it takes them to get from point to point. And this is an old drawing that I got from Pizarro. You can see by the punch marks and all that that it's in a folder, which I'm looking at right next to my desk right now.
Got it.
And we have, it's all in German, and there are two really great guys, members of Shark Hunters, that are translating all this, because otherwise I'd never be able to figure it out. And it's going into the book. All these pictures that you're seeing today, they're in the book also, with much more lengthy descriptions. You know, if I was to go through all the heavy descriptions on each one of them, we'd be here till dawn. And I plan to be asleep long before that.
Right.
So let's look at number 10. That's the place. That's what you're looking at on the chart. That's where we saw the picture, number 8 of the Dresden, hidden in there. The remote fjord where Pagels guided the cruiser Dresden. Who is Pagels? Boy, now we're opening up another whole chapter of history.
Look at that picture, though. That looks like Norway, doesn't it?
Yeah, of course it does. Yeah, like I say, the globe is flip-flopped, except this part is not as habitable as Norway. I mean, this is rough country down there. No places to, you wouldn't be able to go climbing that mountain. It's solid brush. And there's nothing down there yet, unless you get over towards Ushuaia. But in this particular part of the Magellan Strait, there isn't diddly squat.
Got it. And there must be hundreds upon hundreds of miles of passageways like this, hidden nooks
right.
and crannies, maybe thousands, who knows. That's an enormous resource.
Right, and the Reich with Canaris, they figured it all out. So let me scroll up to where I'm at now. Okay. When Graf Spee got into the battle with the three British cruisers and got banged up, and they had to scuttle the boat, the ship, their supply ship, Altmark, disappeared. Now, every one of the heavies had supply ships with it because they just apparently didn't have the room to carry that much fuel, food, etc. So they had an auxiliary ship,
right?
And that was Altmark. And
Ooh.
All of a sudden, say again.
We're almost out of time here.
Okay.
We're over time right now. Can you do this in 60 seconds?
Yeah. Weren't we on for 2 hours?
We always are.
Okay. Well, we got another hour and 60 seconds.
Yeah, well, wait, it's your call. We can wrap it now and hold it, or you want to finish this a little bit up?
Okay.
Who was Albert Pagels?
Albert Pagels, right. He was a German officer in the First World War. Colombia, German-born but Colombian citizen. He lived down there, and he did a lot of the mapping as well, and he's the guy who guided, that's him in photo 11, he guided the Dresden, and who knows how many more ships, into hiding place, probably the Altmark, because it ducked into those fjords for a couple of months after Graf's Bay was destroyed, because Altmark disappeared. Nobody knew where it was until later on it popped up in a Norwegian fjord when the Royal Navy went aboard and captured all the German sailors and rescued all the British prisoners. But where was it for two or so months? We're pretty sure it was down here in one of these oblates.
Okay, very good.
And Pagels was the guy who guided him in. He was so gung-ho, he named his daughter Dresden Pagels.
Huh.
That's a gung-ho guy.
Yeah, Pagels. I knew a girl named Pagel once.
Maybe she's descended.
Cheryl Pagel. All right, now, back with more. Hold on, another hour to go with Admiral Cooper as we roll through our monthly walk through real history. Next.